Mr. Gardner.
Yeah.
So, can you tell our brand new listeners of our first ever podcast, and might be our only ever podcast,
our car series.
Our car series. A car like that as a car series. Can you tell people where we are right now as we come up upon this police car that's sitting up here on the left?
The Aussie Phys Ed car series. We are on the Hume Highway and have just visited Shepparton.
That poor bugger back there, he just got pulled over.
Just got done. Just got done. Got done, the poor bugger. On our way back from Shepparton, so we've been in Shepparton for the day for the Teachers Games. So to run the first ever spike ball tournament at the Teachers Games.
Spike ball!
So yeah. we basically opened the games too. What a success.
I know, how good was it?
It was insane.
How many teams do you reckon we saw?
So we had, I reckon we had, what do we reckon, 16 teams? Am I overshooting the mark there?
Yeah, we had, might be by four. We had six blokes teams.
Yep.
But one didn't show, a no-show.
A no-show.
We had four ladies teams. And we had the two mixed teams.
Yeah, 12.
So we had the 12 there.
And that's cool. when we had that conversation with them, not any of those people knew anything about spike ball.
Not one thing.
Not one thing before the actual Teachers Game. So when they found out it was on the event list, a couple of them did some research. One team actually went and bought a set to practice with, but that was it. The excitement, I reckon, after the event, if we are to do that again next year, which more than likely we will, I think we'll triple the amount of teams in that.
Oh, absolutely, and we'll have to bring up a truck full of spike ball gear to hand out like Christmas.
A truck full of, let's say, a truck full of pro sets.
I know that the talent, the skill level was incredible. Talk us through the men's final.
Yeah, probably the top three men's teams that actually could have gone.
The Wookiees. How good were the Wookiees?
The Wookiees. The Hypnol Wookiees. Were outstanding. The two blokes that won it, so they were called the Mean Green Fighting Machine. Spike balling machine, that's right. There was something mean in there. There was something green and something about spike ball. And a machine. So,
and no machines.
They were sensational, actually. For not having played, they were the team that had bought the set and had a practice. They were dead set. Skylar Bowles, look out. Because Australia is coming at you and the Chico Spikes coming at you.
Oh, my.
I think the Rounded Association, when they have their national championships, may have some very interested parties this year.
Yeah, and like the arena that we played in, we weren't meant to be outside, but with all the pouring rain, we got pushed to the inside. So we're on a polished concrete floor, which on the best of days is not the grippiest.
And but, diving, wasn't yeah. there? We had teams with knee pads and elbow pads that were playing.
That's how tough the Aussies are down here. That they are diving on concrete.
We don't need sand, Chico. We don't need sand.
Diving on concrete to keep the balls alive. And the women's. How's the women's final? 21-0.
21-0. And Skylar, if you are or eventually do listen to this, we need some clarification. Because like in pool, you know, the team that does not win, we say down here in Oz that the pants come down and you have to run around the table six times. We just wanted to clarify, you know, game of spike ball, if it is 21-0, is there any sort of rule that states that pants must come down and a lap must be done around the spike ball net?
Oh, dear me. I think in the professional organisation, like the Victorian Teacher Games, any pants down has to happen after hours, not during the carnival.
With the medal around the neck.
Yes. And how good was Jude Maguire, CEO of School Sport Victoria, presenting the medallions?
Fantastic. That probably just showing how in tune School Sport Victoria are, especially with such a new event, to get involved and get the CEO out there presenting the medals and creating a lot of interest. Actually, they got the videographer in there to take a lot of video footage of what was going on, throughout that tournament, so I can't wait to see the footage of that, for sure.
And our New Zealand counterparts across the ditch.
Had two very interested... we want to be nice, don't we? Very, very interested Kiwi residents that were extremely excited about getting spike ball. I don't know, we say down under.
Yeah.
What do you say about there?
I'd say across the ditch.
Across the ditch.
Yeah.
Into the paddocks across there.
I would call it East Australia.
East Australia. Love it.
No offence, New Zealanders.
Or what do they call us? The mainlanders?
Well, they call us Tasmania, West New Zealanders.
So the islanders.
Yeah. We are the West New Zealanders. the excitement was good. So we're driving back now, back to Geelong from Shepparton. We are down right in the middle of countryside Victoria. We are looking at green grass, rolling hills on the Hume Highway, weaving in and out of traffic on time though.
Safely,
exactly. We've just we've paid a visit to the food shop, and unfortunately there's nothing left to eat at the food shop now because we bought it all. Well, police up here again. They're everywhere.
I will say, so Mr. Hare, yes, he's an Iron Man. Yes, he's one of the fittest blokes I've ever worked with. But my godfather, I would not take him on in an eating challenge at all.
I've learned from the best.
He's the bloke you walk into McDonald's and he says, "I'll just have one of everything on the menu."
Two large fries, a chocolate sundae, hot apple pie, and a large Coke was enough to do it. But did get upset because I didn't order the hot cakes. They should have come out as well. All right, so we are on school holidays. Looking back, what a term, what a massive term. Tell me about your term, Azza.
Yeah, so I had a really strong athletics focus to start the term off.
So did I.
And that was purely based on, we had our district ATS. So towards the end of end of term two, we had our school sport ATS, so our house sport ATS. And then early this term, we had our district ATS. And then we've just finished off with our division ATS. So, yeah, I got the sandpit redone at school and really tried to have a strong focus on athletics this year. And it paid off, so we took the most ever kids that we've taken to both a district and both a division carnival. So the hard work paid off. And then we finished off with some nice target sports, target games. So I had some Deakin students come in and run some sessions, just building a bit of a partnership there with Deakin University in Geelong. And they came in and ran some really good stuff, some croquet, and so that was fantastic.
Yeah, cool. I'll talk about target sports in a second, but yeah, we were the same. So we did 6 weeks of athletics up at Truganina, and then finished that with our house athletics, which was sensational, the house athletics. And then went to district athletics, and then like every other division athletics across Victoria got washed out, so it had to wait another couple of days. But you know, the thing that puzzles me the most is that athletics is a summer sport event, and you know, we compete during summer. Little ATS is during summer, senior ATS is during summer, the track and field at the Olympic Games is during summer, yet all our school program is in winter.
Yeah.
So we've got 11 degree days, washouts, kids freezing cold while they're waiting for the event, a high jump bar that won't stay on because it's too damn windy. And the process is always built around sort of that national championships, I know, but you know, I often think that maybe our house ATS should be done back in March. Interesting food for thought.
I agree. Couldn't agree more. Well, we got, I don't know if it's the first that's ever happened, but we got evacuated from Landyfield.
Yeah, how's that?
Second last day of turn, the Barwon River had broken its banks and the council evacuated us from Landyfield, so we didn't even get to finish our division event this year. So
the flood water rose to the point that you actually had to stop the track meet midday.
Had to stop the track meet midday. So we, I guess that's a bit of food for thought, isn't it?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I've never heard of that before.
Never heard. And I know it's never happened. I know it's not something that happens regularly, but it's like Andy said, it is a summer sport. So why are we
But you know the best thing about it, house sports, phys ed expression session.
Yeah.
It accentuated what the kids did. It accentuated with a hashtag.
Amplified.
Yes, the PE expression session really gelled it all together. All right, so let me talk about target sports. Because I'm about to go into a target sports, my game sense unit. Have you seen bottle flipping?
Bottle flipping?
Have you seen bottle flipping on YouTube?
Do you know what, Andy? I spend a lot of time with you, yet you still surprise me every day with something new. Have not seen bottle flipping.
All right, so Do Perfect is the group that I go to for my my inspiration with my target games. And I came across a YouTube clip with Do Perfect, and they were bottle flipping it. And what it is, it's a plastic bottle, and it's a third full of water. And your job is to spin the bottle so it lands either on the top or on its butt.
Stop it.
And you're throwing it at, on, above, over different objects to land it on its bottom. And with the volume of water that's in there, they never break. So I saw this YouTube clip with Do Perfect, and they were doing forward flips, back flips, shooting basketballs.
Can you use like a 600ml Coke? Plastic, or does it have to be?
I haven't seen it. You could try it. I've seen it just with the plastic water bottles.
It's got a flatter base. Yeah.
I wouldn't use a glass bottle though.
That's just clarifying.
Yeah, just clarifying for our viewers. No glass bottle for bottle flipping. But I did see this really young kid, and he flipped it so it landed on its lid, and then flipped a second one so it landed on the butt of the first one.
No.
Yes. And he was loving it. So my whole target sports theme is going to be built around bottle flipping. And the championship, the expression session at the end will be that the students must have completed a Do Perfect-like video with talking over, with music, and with vision of them flipping a bottle. And it'd be to the point where it's actually needs to be trial and errored by other people. Because, yeah, guess what? The formula to target sports is all trial and error.
New age PE right there, Harry. Yeah. I know a lot of people, some people will be sitting there going, oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? But
show me the sport.
Yep.
You don't need the sport. We create the sport.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So next term.
All, you know, that all comes back to the learning objectives and what you set up for what your kid, you want your kids to get out of that unit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and target sports is all built around identifying a target, trialing error and erroring to try and achieve that target. And then once they achieve that target, reset it so it becomes harder and go again.
And deep, so deep level thinking, isn't it?
The whole principle around effective learning and answering the learning intent. I mean, if we set it up with a question, can you flip the bottle on its bottom as our base level, our level one experience, then the kids are going to do that. Once they hit that and they get it, they get to level two. Can you throw the flip the bottle over a table so it lands on the other side on its bottom?
Do you know what? Is it our good friend Nathan Weaver, who big on the solo taxonomy side of things. I'm already thinking about how you could set that up solo taxonomy wise, and that made every kid is going to experience some form of success through that differentiated through a solo taxonomy leveled experience.
I look at like it just like a horse race. Everyone's in the gates at the same time, but the field spread out through that deeper understanding and how quick they pick it up.
Yeah, love it.
Cool. So, all right, so term four is on us.
Yes.
I know that our Southern Hemisphere people, you are basking in the glory that it is starting to warm up, even though it's pouring rain outside into the winter period. But let's talk about what's happening next term.
So I've got netball. So I'm doing... that's 3 to 6. I've got netball. And I'm looking at a range of a few things. So I'm going to do chook ball with 3 to 6. Something that they haven't done before. And I find myself really intriguing game.
Is that Adam Metcalf?
So that is Adam Metcalf, yes.
Shout out Adam Metcalf.
Yep, so that's I'm going to give that one a whirl. I am looking at spike ball with the 5-6s because we are obviously, we've got our first ever state spike ball school championships.
State champs.
Down in November, down here, down under.
Yes.
So I'm looking at that and I'm going to look at a bit of speed mitten.
Oh yeah, nice.
Depending on how my 3-4s go, we're going to look at a, and you've played this one before, Andy, but a bit of a different take on volleyball. And the name has escaped, is it Wham Ball?
Nitro Ball.
I could not think.
Yes.
But I've got the Nitro Ball kit, so we're going to look at probably Nitro Ball with the 3s, the 6s. With the 3-4s. So,
yeah, nice.
And then my young kids, I've still got to do a couple of FMS-based stuff, but then I'm going to build into... we're going to do some real game sense style stuff with my prepped twos, breaking off into the FMS skills, but looking at it in a game sense style, so really getting to that next level of cooperative learning.
And that's where we'll have to get back in contact with the great wizard, Shane Pill.
Yeah, absolutely.
And get him to set up huge question and answer sessions around that.
Yeah, he's got a really fantastic... playing for purposes of...
how good's that book?
Yeah, the Fundamental Motor Skills book. And it basically sets you up for breaking those kids into the small-sided games with using the FMS skills. So
yeah.
Get on that one, people. Yeah. It's a cracking book.
Smash it. Well, my littlies, my preps and twos are certainly building into that game sense mode as well. But where you are using the forehand strike, two-hand strike, throw and catch... elements there to really build in that module and getting in the hot shots, because the school I'm at is a big hot shot school.
Yep.
So getting the hot shots gear out and getting the kids to move through the different ways of striking and starting. Brett McClellan from Hot Shots Australia showed me this one and it was awesome in that forehand strike, starting with the kids actually hitting the tennis ball on the ground and not actually getting it in the air. They're just hitting it, paddling it back and forth to themselves, to each other. And so there's no loss of control, because the biggest one is maximising that control of the ball.
So are they hitting it as a roll?
Yeah, just as a roll, yeah. Just stroking that ball back and forth with their bats. So pretty excited with that. And then blending in the two-hand strike element of it as well and trying to continue to build in the theories of left and right. So getting the kids to play, say, a game of hot shots, but with two double hands. Two forehands.
Two double hands.
That's forehands.
I'd like to see that.
But two forehands. So, they play with the right hand, then swap the racket over, play with the left hand.
And then when they've done that, with that, play with their other right hand.
Play with both right hands. Because we're a weird breed down here in Australia. And that should be pretty cool. And then the older kids, we're just finishing off our invasion game, so they're going to go through a maker game series for 3 weeks.
Beautiful.
Where they'll have to develop, explore, bring in the tactics of attacking and defense, write it up, and then we'll rotate them through and they'll have to teach the remainder of the grade. And then they'll branch into the target and the net. I think target games is my last. Yeah, it is target games. So we're going to be looking at the bottle flipping. We're going to be looking at mini golf around the school. So we've got all artificial grass around our courtyard. So the kids are going to set up their own mini golf courses and we'll have to play it. And then will be the Phys Edmus games.
Yes. Woo-hoo. The Aussie Phys Edmus games.
Aussie Phys Edmus games, Volume 2 is going to be written this year.
Look out, ACHPA.
Yeah, so Aussie Phys Edmus. So at ACHPA, we are doing the Aussie Phys Edmus games as a presentation this year, so that should be pretty cool. So by that time, my friend, it is going to be the end of the school year.
Christmas.
Yeah. Summer holidays. So I think that's about it.
That is a wrap, yep, on our first ever number one edition of the Aussie Phys Ed Car... What do we call it? The
Carcast.
Carcast.
A carcast.
Carcast.
Not
like
a podcast,
it.
A carcast.
I like it. The carcast. Just jibber-jabbering away.
This is our team. We will catch you later. I'm Andy.
And I'm Azza.
And we'll see you later.